Let's get started. Good morning, I'm Chairman Brad Holton, I'll bring the meeting to order. We have two agenda items that are for the 9:30 period time. If it is okay with the sheriff's office, let's just start with budget workshop number two for fiscal year 2026. And then as it works, then we could morph into the meeting to discuss the female detention facility on Pond Lake. Let's take care of the second budget workshop. So let's start with that. Good morning.
Very good, good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. So we have an outline prepared for this morning's workshop. I think the bulk of our time will be spent on item two, but if I could take just a minute on item one, which was this list of proposed projects for fiscal year 2026 that we had submitted last time. So we're still in process with some of these. By way of update, we were able to go back to the vendor and submit another bid for project 26-1, which is our SWAT body armor, and we were able to reduce that cost by $20,000. And then we're also testing another vendor's products. So at a minimum, project 26-1 will be $20,000 less than was submitted, and potentially more depending if this other vendor can give us a better price. So that's a little bit of savings there. And then similarly, project 26-3, equipment for the new sheriff's office, we've been able to reduce that number by $20,000 as well. The biggest item clearly is item 26-4, and we're closing in on getting that number more accurate. We've had a meeting with an interior designer. We asked for a bid for those services to help us with the lobby furniture and some other areas that we felt like we need some help to choose the right type of furniture and manufacturer. And we haven't received that bid yet. And then we have been working very closely with facilities. They've been truly amazing. And we have a very detailed itemized list that we've met with them, and they've indicated that they feel they can build the vast majority of our office furniture, our conference room tables, as well as cubicle dividers. And so facilities' willingness to step up and provide that labor is a massive, incredible savings for the new sheriff's office. And also lends real continuity to the furnishings so that it looks nice and consistent across the offices. So we couldn't be happier. And it's my understanding that Ricky has put in approximately $165,000 for materials into the facilities budget to build that furniture. So I suspect that 26-4, that number will come down. I just am, and we've gone out and priced chairs for our classrooms and other things, and we've been working hard. We have one vendor that we would do a lot of those purchases from. We went to them and said, hey, you've got to do better, and they came back and gave us a 20% discount, which is over $20,000 savings there. So that number, I think, will come down, and we'll try to get that to you as soon as possible, but we're doing everything we can to negotiate the best prices possible for the things that we need in the new sheriff's office building that can be supplied by facilities.
Chairman, can I ask a question?
Sure.
On the interior designer person, help me understand. So we have the furniture being constructed by the facilities for the bulk of what you're doing, but it's still out to bid for a cost to do that construct, I guess, on the inside?
Well, I can clarify that, Commissioner. So we don't need help with the office furniture, the conference room tables, those kinds of things, but the lobby furniture, which is where the public will come in, I felt like it would be good to have somebody help us to know in a public place, you know, what type of furniture, what manufacturers, what should we put in the lobby. And then there are what we call quiet rooms. There's half a dozen of those throughout the sheriff's office. And those are small rooms where people can go to make a phone call or decompress if they've had a stressful situation. And those are going to be furnished mainly with like a recliner and just a comfortable seat and a side table and a lamp, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We have an overshift room for patrol. If they come off of shift at 6 a.m. and they have to go to court at 9 a.m., we wanted to provide a place where they could grab a couple of hours sleep. So when I say there's just a few, just a very limited number of areas within that building that we didn't feel real qualified. We just needed a little bit of guidance. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want to pay a lot of money for that. So yeah. We just said, we had an initial meeting at no cost saying, can you help us find furniture for this type of use in these very few areas within the sheriff's office? So that's all that is
okay.
Hopefully a very, my personal opinion is they should do it gratis, but so we won't proceed if that number to get a little bit of professional help exceeds what we think is reasonable, then we wouldn't proceed with that. We'll find other means.
Okay, Chairman, follow up. We're fortunate because this building will have a place for that, which we currently don't have for officers and people. And did you look at, I'm sorry about the questions, but I just have them, NAMPA, the Hugh Nichols building, they have a place that's different space than ours, whether you have a lobby, you have waiting areas. Did you look at any of that or the vendors that they used? Or
I've certainly looked at it. I've been to their facility. In terms of vendors, no, I have. And that's really the main thing is, this is industrial kind of public use furniture versus mm-hmm. home furniture. So that's where we just need some guidance on sure. on those types of things.
So you're saying more numbers to come?
Yes. Yeah. And hopefully reduced numbers. We have the included in 26-4 is the cost of all of the furnishings to date that are not facilities furnished.
Okay.
Such as we have a classroom that will hold 60 students. So we need 60 chairs. We need tables for that classroom. Those types of okay. furnishings that we can't have, that facilities
sure.
can't yeah. provide.
Thanks for the clarification and additional information.
Yep. So that's all I have for the item number one, the project updates, and we'll, I believe by the next budget workshop, we should have all of those numbers pretty hard.
Okay.
All right.
Good. Item number two is just going over this updated budget worksheet, and there are just a couple of things that I think we failed to touch on last time and some changes that have taken place that I think are important to be discussed. So first up is a piece of good news, and so Dave has looked at our revenues and tried to project what our excess revenues will be for fiscal year 2025, and the number that he's come up with is $1,138,277 is our projected excess revenue for FY 2025. So and that's the only good news.
Thanks for doing it first.
Yeah. So in our first budget meeting, we had estimated that we had approximately $180,000 in excess B budget revenue that we were tracking to help hopefully fund some of these projects. We're still anticipating an excess in the B budget, but that number has shrunk just based on bills and things that have come in by about $50,000. So that's a moving target. And once we get into next month, I think we'll feel a little more solid. And then at the appropriate time, we'll come to the board and say, we've got some excess in our current year budget. And here's, you know, if we can pay for all of our tables and chairs, or if we can, you know, there are plenty of sort of standalone costs associated with furnishing the new sheriff's office that I think that will be the best use of any excess B budget funds for this year, just to get a jump. And whatever we can accomplish will subsequently reduce that project 26-4 number for furnishings. So we'll keep you updated on that, but we took a dip there. This is one we'll have to ask the clerk and the controller to jump in on, because this is new to us, and I think it bears discussion, and that is the addition of specialty pay as a line item in fiscal year 2026. So we haven't done that in previous years, and I just, clerk or the controller, do you want to speak on that just so that we're all on the same page? I think in prior years, we've always had sufficient buffers in our A budget to account for any specialty pay, but I guess I shouldn't speak as to what the intention is, so I'll let you.
Commissioners, Chief, yeah, the intent was before, we always kind of just lumped that in the overtime line before. And so for people, especially like your office as well as others around the county, you had specialty pay just lumped in with overtime, and there wasn't really a distinguishable, you couldn't really distinguish it from, you know, just overtime pay, specialty pay. And so we split that out this year to help better track, and so we can see what's actually in there, because then there may be where you don't actually have any overtime. It's just a specialty pay for, yeah, you know, obviously the sheriff's office has a number of those, and so do some other departments around here. So that was just more of a tracking and more of a true representation of it, instead of just kind of, you know, stuffing it into a line. It was like actually just creating a legit line item for it, so that way we can all track. So it's just more of an ease.
So thank you. So commissioners, the reason I think that's important is because when you look at the bottom line of, you know, what our budget proposal is in 410 versus last year, that number grew. Specialty pay is about $377,000 for the sheriff's office across all of our specialty pays. And so you'll see that our A budget essentially grew by that amount. My personal opinion is year over year, we typically carry enough vacancies to absorb those specialty pay costs within the A budget, but we're tracking more specifically. So you'll see that the bottom line number grew by the amount of that specialty pay. And I just wanted to explain that.
Okay.
Additionally, based on our discussions last time, we put in $150,000 to go towards the training facility. I think we've saved a huge amount of money being able to do a lot of the dirt work out there in-house, and we've met with someone who can provide a bid for some gravel work out of the funds that we have remaining for this year. So we're again trying to optimize the monies that we have now to do what we can to, obviously this is going to be a phased project over many years, but we're trying to get the most critical things done now. They've made just tremendous progress out there. It's probably worth going out and seeing it at some point, but we're hoping to. So that's an add from last year. And then the other change that's a little bit different is we typically carry a number of part-time vacancies, mostly in courts and transports. We would love to fill those, as busy as our courts and transports are, but they're difficult positions to fill. And so again, this year, just to be more precise, they asked us to add the cost of those positions if they were filled. Is that correct?
For the, yes.
For the part-time positions?
Yes.
So you'll see that's another add of about $150,000 that wasn't in the previous worksheet. And I just, we really struggle to fill those positions. They're tough. So will we actually expend those funds? I personally don't believe we will, or certainly not all of them, but you'll see that as an added cost. The next item, we might, that sort of ties into the discussion that we'll have after this budget workshop, as it's associated with our female detention facility. In years past, we've always had a line item, that inmate housing lease line item. Obviously, Pod 6 is gone, so we no longer have a lease, but the question that remains is how do we ultimately account for the potential funding of a new female facility? So I just put that there as sort of a placeholder for that discussion. And then lastly, with 390, that's our emergency communications. These are all expenses that would ultimately be paid either by a grant or by our existing E911 funds, so there are not any kind of additional cost to the county. But we are not going to have answers from IPSCC on what the amount of the grants are going to be to help us build the new next generation 911 until the fall. And then we're working with Motorola right now as it relates to moving our current dispatch with the current equipment that exists in dispatch over to the new sheriff's office. And so what we're balancing right now is the anticipated cost, which keeps fluctuating from Motorola to take all that stuff out and move it over across the street, versus the cost of purchasing new consoles and just starting with a new dispatch center. We're getting to the point that it looks like the best way to proceed is probably going to be just buying new equipment, because there's no guarantee when they take all that stuff out and take it across the street that when they turn it on, it all works the right way. And that equipment is still viable for other dispatch centers that have those same consoles. And so we have an estimate of what we could sell that current equipment for. So when we take the cost of moving the dispatch center, which right now they're telling us it's about $800,000, and the amount of money we could get for selling the current consoles, which is about $500,000, that's $1.3 million that we could put towards brand new equipment. And as we balance that out, again, all of that will be paid for out of our E911 funds. We have a healthy budget that we're carefully tracking there. And then as far as the next generation 911, it appears that we're moving forward in a positive way with the state, and the grant funds should take care of virtually all of that. And we're working closely with Director Rast and our dispatch center on that. So that number could jump a little bit, but it doesn't impact, it doesn't come out of general funds, so we're good there. And then the last line is just, you know, a short discussion of our current crime data. We just got our most recent crime report. You know, unfortunately, in 2024, we saw about a 17% increase in crimes against persons in the county. I don't, you know, there's nothing terribly alarming about that, but when you look at the growth of the county, just we're going to see a growth in crime. So I understand that the sheriff's office represents a large expenditure for the county, But crime doesn't care about our budget. So I think that we have to pay attention to what's happening and make sure that we're properly allocating resources to public safety to address the crime trends that we're seeing within the county. I'm happy to answer any questions about item number two.
Questions?
I don't have any, Chairman, thank you.
Okay, moving on to item number three. So as we discussed last time, I was going to have a meeting with the HR director to go over the new grade, the steps within the grades. We did that. We had a great meeting with the HR director. And so whenever the board would like, I can schedule a time for an executive session to talk about those individual salaries. But what I can say is the market adjustments that we would be asking for, the total number, including salary and benefits, is about $78,000 across approximately 19 employees. So we'll need, it's my understanding we would need to be in executive session because we're going to be talking, naming individuals, but that's the total number. So it's not a large number for our market adjustments. And we've been over each employee with in conjunction with the HR director to make sure we got input from her as it relates to those numbers.
Mr. Chair, are these non-commission only market adjustments?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any title changes? Are these already in grade? Is there grade changes? Is there title changes?
So on one of them, we've already done a resolution for a grade change. I think we... And there's just one other that we feel we should reclassify from the current customer service specialist to a senior admin specialist. So in all of those, there's only one other grade change that would require a resolution to move from customer service to senior admin. And we can talk about why we feel that's appropriate. All of the rest of them are within grade. And then I know the next item is our female detention facility, which we're going to talk about after that. And so if there are other questions as it relates to the budget workshop that we should field prior to moving into item four, we're happy to discuss or answer any questions that might exist.
Chairman, I have a question.
Yes.
On the overtime for that, I know you've had people out at post, and so people have been picking up extra shifts to cover, which has always been historically problematic, but you've got $230,000 allocated for that. Where do you feel like you'll be?
It's. I'm smiling because we, Commissioner, we just had that discussion about 53 minutes ago.
So. Okay.
That is just, it's such a challenge for us within the jail. I keep hoping, so I attended a detention graduation in May and it was 9 deputies and they're, as I've said before, they're wonderful hires, but that was 8 weeks for 9 individuals that we had to cover overtime. As we sit here today, we still have approximately a half a dozen vacancies within the jail. As we hire those people, we have to get them to post and then
sure.
Have 4 jail deputies that are moving over in September to our patrol side to account for some retirements and a couple of vacancies we had, which is wonderful. I'm really happy about being able to afford those opportunities, but we seem to always have, to some degree or another, the need for covering shifts for people that are in the post academy. And then you have sick leave or vacation and those types of things. And so no matter the efforts we make, it's just really difficult to try to reduce that overtime number.
Sure.
In the jail. jail. So we added a little bit to it this year because we've exceeded our overtime budget. Now we have more than enough with the vacancies we carried in budget to cover our overtime costs. But it's a real challenge for us to accurately predict our overtime needs within the jail.
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
And I appreciate that conversation. Thanks for the expanded discussion on there. It's just been challenging year over year to get that number at a place where there's not
all
people
us,
working
all of us
a lot of hours.
Certainly like to reduce yeah. that because I you know our jail deputies work long hours and long shifts as
mm-hmm.
and so I think just from a work-life balance perspective, the
right.
more we can reduce the need for overtime. But as the commissioners know, we have mandated staffing levels within the jail, and we have to meet those. And another thing that really pulls on that is we have had, it seems like lately, and perhaps you can comment, but we've had an inordinate number of hospital watches. So when we have an inmate that has to be admitted to the hospital, a deputy, sometimes two deputies, depending on their status within the jail, they have to go with them for as long as they're in the hospital. And so it isn't just post, but we seem to have had, is that correct, Bill, that we've had more than our fair share of hospital watches?
That's for sure, yes.
Yeah. Okay. And so that is another a reason for, it's not just vacancies, but we've been hit hard. We've had times where we've had three hospital watches at the same time. So that's a minimum of three deputies from that team
right.
that have to stay there 24 hours a day until they're out of the hospital.
And I think, Chairman, follow up for sake of discussion, the thing that is really important is that you have that work life, that mental health, that whole thing that encompasses what law enforcement does, that they get the opportunity. And some of those people are putting in terrific hours to be able to cover those shifts, and they're good people.
Yep.
So thank you for answering the question.
Anything else, commissioners?
Yep.
Yeah.
Kyle?
Commissioners, I just had one thing. I believe we touched on in the last meeting, but including the increased amounts to pay for the admin building. And I just wanted to clarify that what amounts that we were going to add for that, for the overages for that, because we would recognize the revenue and then the expending of the ARPA interest, as well as including amount for a little bit of overage in that as well. But I just wanted to get that, because I don't know if we totally finalized that in the last discussion, but there's roughly, I'm trying to, maybe around 4.5-ish in interest right now, and then we were estimating maybe a 2 million in overage, so it'd be an additional 6.5 in capital expenditure, as well as 4.5 million in revenue that would be recognized as well, that we would add in there, if that's something that the commissioners think is appropriate.
Do you have suggestions?
I mean, the 6.5 I think would be reasonable, and that should give us enough to pay for anything that's in addition to just our just regular ARPA funds. So that would cover the usage and utilization of our ARPA interest and a max capacity effort of additional overage for the building. So I believe that would be a safe amount to put in there. We'll probably be under that amount, but then that way we won't have to come back and do a potential amendment later.
So yeah, Mr. Chair, the difference is about $2 million, but this, of that $2 million overages on that building, there's contingency
right.
built into that, which is probably about 50%
possibly
of that
is.
Total number. So I don't see us anticipating spend the whole $2 million, but we need to put the capacity in there.
Just in case, yeah. So we'll probably be under it, but like I said, that way we just don't have to revisit it later down the road and do a potential amendment. So I just wanted to make sure we were covered in full capacity.
Go for the 6.5.
Okay. We'll get that adjusted in there. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks for bringing it up.
So, Mr. Chair, just to follow up just for clarification. So, on the revenue side,
yes.
we'll put 6.5.
We'll
sorry, expenses on 6.5
yes.
and revenues at
4.5. Yeah.
Okay.
So, there'll be a net, the ARPA interest will net out, and then there'll just be an additional piece for that overage, potential overage. Sorry. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Sounds good.
Other questions, Commissioner Brooks?
Am I missing anything?
I don't think so.
No?
We're ready to move into your item four, the female detention facility, is that right?
Yep.
All right. Chief, I'm a little bit nervous about some of this is security issues, and so is there anything that we have that we're comfortable with speaking in public about before we would consider an executive session? Or do you want to do an executive session first and finish up with anything following that executive session? You're in the driver's seat, you have the information, and I'm not sitting on that information, so.
Carl, are you sitting in for Rick on this?
I am.
You have, okay. Well, I think there's a few things that we could discuss in open session first. And it's primarily that we have solicited some estimates. This isn't a bid process at any point, but we felt it would be wise to try to get some ballpark figures as it relates to the cost of this Canyon County female detention facility. And so we have those numbers that we could talk about, but also we have in terms of the architectural design, that to my understanding is completed and has been submitted to us.
It's close.
It's close.
It has been submitted.
Okay. So we're close to having a final design for that. And so there are certain elements of that I think are better discussed in executive session because there are some elements of that design that would be best talked about in executive session that certainly add a little bit to the cost of the building.
Sure.
But we could discuss those and then perhaps at the end of executive session, if there's anything that we feel we need to put on the public record, we can certainly do that at that point.
Okay. All right. So is there any other questions that we want to entertain before we entertain going into executive session?
I don't have any, Chairman. In
okay.
D, is that? Chairman, I move that we adjourn to executive session under Idaho Code 742061, subsection D, or records exempt from public disclosure.
A second.
Okay. Motion has been made and seconded. What say you, Commissioner Van Beek?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Holton says yes. So motion carries unanimously. So let's recess into executive session. Thank you.